The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, a little bit of everything. Little Rona, little sports, little guys getting arrested. Pretty much ran the gamut. It's all available on podcastarena.com. Did you see the story about how that the Aaron Rodgers thing that was on The Athletic about how they are already sick of his bleep?
No.
And that's why they... basically, it was kind of speculative, but it... and we've seen coaches and quarterbacks not get along. But apparently, the Packers have, quote, had enough of Rodgers' act. And Matt LaFleur basically did this to send a message. But
so what happened? I mean, do you think they trade him?
I don't think they do it this year. I mean, the cap hit, the dead money, really, you need him for two more years.
Well, and especially when we've talked about, you know, where is there for quarterbacks to go?
Yeah, Bob McGinn of The Athletic said, public niceties aside, my sense is, I mean, this is real scientific, LaFleur, fresh from a terrific 13-3 baptismal season, simply had enough of Rodgers' act and wanted to change the narrative. With a first-round talent on the rosters, the Packers would gain leverage with their imperial quarterback and his passive-aggressive style. Overwrite much, sir? I mean, look, Rodgers is a freaking diva, there's no question. But, I mean, if you're doing this to light a fire under him, I'd still rather you get a player you could win with now. You did make the championship game last year. You were 13-3. So, I don't get it.
I mean, it could just be a power struggle with a coach who wants to establish that this is my team. And Aaron Rodgers is our best player, but he's not bigger than the team. I don't know. I've never thought of Aaron Rodgers as like a me-first guy, but, you know, I'm not in the locker room with those guys.
Well, I mean, I think there's been a lot more smoke here the last couple of years that, you know, he and McCarthy not getting along, and, you know, now clearly LaFleur wants to go to more of a running team, which, you know, okay, if you can win and go 13-3, I don't care how you do it, but it still seems like
you've got
to learn
how to play some defense if you're going to be a running team.
Well, yeah, you can't let the 49ers run all over you the way they did, but... You know, unless you're going to put Aaron Rodgers at linebacker, I don't know how you're fixing that.
Right.
Oh, I've got some breaking news, AJ.
Okay. Give it to me.
From Ray Pollitt, who is a horse racing guy that I follow. Nothing official from Nevada government officials yet, but some, not all, casino hotels apparently are booking rooms starting May 15th.
Okay. Does that
MGM
seem like the right time for you? Or too soon?
It's too soon, but like MGM is not booking any until May 21st. But some of the other hotels are going to start booking rooms beginning May 15th. I don't know how well that'll go over. I don't think they're going to get the rush there that they thought they were going to get.
Almost certainly not going to get that rush.
I'm not going back May 15th. I mean, no. Hell, I don't plan on being back in the office May 15th unless there's a lot of changes. So
But I think I'd be interested to see, once they do this, how long it is before, like we talked about the other day, you get a lot more comp rooms. You know, they're giving you all kinds of deals to just get you back out there. So if you are inclined, you could get a great, I'm sure you can get a great deal.
Get a nice rate, yeah.
Yeah, I just, right now, I'm not ready to get on an airplane or go to Vegas.
No.
I think, you know, things are certainly trending in the right direction for that, but I don't feel like we're there yet. But I also, I know that mayor's been trying to get them reopened forever. So, you know, we'll...
Looks like she's going to get her way.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, and again, it's everybody's individual choice if they want to go. If I were to go to a casino, I'm wearing a mask the whole time.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, I kind of like the whole mask look for the next time I'm at a real-life poker table. So, can I get a shout-out to one of our listeners here, Kevin, who doesn't want to play the poker tournament because he says he's not any good. Neither am I right now, Kevin. But he's going to donate $50 so for our charities. So shout-out to you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. The Blitzers have really been cool throughout this thing because the ones who can help have been helping, and the ones who can't have, you know, they're still doing their best to be a part of things. And, man, we really appreciate you guys listening to us through this. I know it's been a, you know, it hasn't been the best stretch for everybody. And, you know, hopefully you're getting some entertainment out of the shows, you're having fun with them, and, you know, trying to stay a little normal here. At some point it'll turn around, and hopefully life gets back to what it was. And when it does, then I'm going to be the first one buying the beers at our next appearance, which probably will be in 2021, but yeah, whenever it is. But we really, really appreciate you guys participating, for sticking with us. And, you know, hopefully we've had a little fun in a time where you can't really have much fun.
Right.
So, 713-780-ESPN. Man, I'm reading this Telvin Smith story. Ugh. That's, come on, guys. Don't have sex
good.
With, don't have sex with minors. That should be pretty high up on the list of, yeah. Hey, Dickweed, don't do this.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a couple 16-year-olds. Why the hell not? But, see, this Gronk said that he had the Buccaneers playbook weeks before he was traded to by New England.
I didn't hear that. Tom Brady fill him in without telling anybody?
Apparently. He said he was on a, I think, a podcast, and he said Joe Burrow had been studying the team, the Bengals playbook for weeks. Says, I was in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't even on the team.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I mean,
but
good thing they were able to get the deal done, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But, well, I mean, he wasn't going to play if they didn't trade him. I mean, he was in a place where he could do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's a, I don't know if I'd be bragging about that, though. It just, I mean, is that even legal?
I don't know. I mean, is it, I don't know how it would be illegal. I mean,
he's still under contract, so would it be tampering?
Them giving him a playbook? I don't know if that's tampering. I mean, they're just.
Well, but that means they're in contact with him about playing for him.
Yeah, I don't know. But he's retired. I don't know how much him saying he's retired does. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big a deal. But if you really want to be a stickler about it, Tyler says, I'm a district manager for Jersey Mike's Subs. Over the weekend, we raised over $2 million for Feeding America. Good job,
Very
guys.
Cool. Yep.
Good job. Yeah, and happy to highlight all of those. So.
Wouldn't it have been great if Gronk would have tried to get a broadcasting job if they didn't trade him and be like Tony Romo and just predict every play that
no,
Tom
he would have
Brady
known everything.
Calling?
Yeah, he would have had it figured out.
Oh, they're going to run a crossing route here. that would have been funny. But 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And still a lot to get to today, and which is good because we have some time left. But we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we are we'll get some more sports for you. I actually have a UFC question for AJ, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I promised you an MMA question. And did you see what Chael Sonnen had to say today, Mr. Hoffman?
I have not seen what Chael had to say.
He thinks that there's a good chance that Tony Ferguson is going to get screwed because he thinks that Conor McGregor is going to get back in this mix and they don't want to lose all the money that they would get from a Khabib-McGregor rematch. And
that's on Tony Ferguson because Tony Ferguson doesn't have to take this fight right now against Justin Gaethje, who's a dangerous dude. He's not the most skilled guy in the world, but he is a dangerous, dangerous guy, particularly in a short burst. So, he could easily end up missing out on this. And he's won a lot of fights in a row to get there.
Yeah. Well, here's what he had to say. He said, I know everything that's been said is we're going to keep Conor on ice, and we're going to put him against Khabib, or the winner of Khabib Tony in September. But, of course, that was believing that Khabib was going to win. Says you have to understand if that's still the plan, that means we're getting ready to pull the screw job on Tony a second time. They promised Tony an interim title fight for the second time. All of a sudden, the belt is gone. We as fans cannot allow that to happen. If Tony comes out of this thing, Tony needs to be fighting Khabib. And if at some point they try to slide in Conor, that means we screwed Tony a second time. We can't let that happen. Well,
I hope that doesn't happen, but I think the only way that Tony really gets screwed out of this is if he loses this fight. I think if he wins his fight against Justin Gaethje and he does the biggest favor possible to the UFC, which is headline a card for them during the pandemic when no one else is really capable of doing it, that they would probably, I won't say they definitely wouldn't, but they probably wouldn't screw him over.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, but if he does somehow lose, you're probably doing a rematch first, and then that opens it up for McGregor to be rematched. So, yeah, just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm hoping I don't really care if Ferguson loses to Gaethje, then okay, that's fine with me because I think. You know, if he can't beat Gaethje, then Khabib was going to be a problem for him. I still think Khabib and Tony are the two best guys, but this is what Ferguson's willing to do. He's going to get a healthy paycheck for it, and that with that comes some pretty big risks and risks of an even bigger paycheck down the road.
Well, let me ask you this, because you know a lot more about this than I do, but does it really matter who you put Conor in with right now? I mean, he's going to sell a fight for you. It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean,
they could do him and Nate Diaz again and everybody would be happy.
Yeah. 409 says shout out to the Astros for doing the right thing. Around May 29th, they'll be issuing refunds for individual tickets purchased for the March, April and May games. Got the email today. I think that's a baseball wide thing, that they decided to do that. And, you know, it's a shame, but hey, you know, that's they probably can't keep that money for games you're not going to get to go to.
Exactly.
Our buddy George checking in from Lake Village, Arkansas, still corona free.
Yep.
Good job, man. Glad you're working, even though it's in Arkansas. I mean, that's it's good to have a job. Arkansas wouldn't be my first choice, but hey, we do what we can, right? 713-780-ESPN is your number. Another sport that is going to hold a race. Apparently, the governor of North Carolina is planning for the Coca-Cola 600 to run on May 24th without fans.
Okay.
So, NASCAR fan.
They're getting back in action too, huh?
Yeah, the first race may occur at Darlington on May 17th. So, you know, hopefully no more virtual races where people are losing their sponsors and losing their jobs because they do stupid stuff.
What? Yeah, I mean, apparently you can't say the N-word now in front of all your sponsors? Oh. What's the world coming to, Fred? It's unfair.
Shame.
Somebody says, George, stay away from the milk. Hey, that milk will make you strong, man.
Hell yeah, it will, brother.
Man. I kind of miss, like, today is the first time I've gotten to hear Barry and Joel in forever because I was coming back from the office, but I kind of miss driving in and checking in on how Arkansas milk's doing.
Yeah, hard times.
Oh, well.
I got a guess, but I'll leave it to myself.
I mean, I'm kind of curious. I mean, obviously they had the draft and all this stuff last week, but I'm kind of curious how they're holding up with nothing to talk about. Somebody says, try to get a refund on Rockets Bulls tickets from March, and box office said they're still waiting on NBA to decide. Yeah, I'm sure they're just waiting to figure out how much of a season, if any season, is going to be there. I mean, I'm sure you'll get your money back at some point. I really, you know, despite my shameless attempt to get page views with my story for tomorrow, I would be surprised if the NBA was able to do anything this year. And,
you know, agreed.
Sucks for the it sucks for the Bucks because this might have been their year, but you know, hey man, the world has changed, and you got to do what you got to do. So, can I do one more draft thing for you?
Yeah,
before we get to our guests. Six before the win did six teams that whiffed on their biggest need in the draft. And you can say fair or unfair. Patriots failing to add a quarterback.
I think it's fair, but I also think that the more you look at it and you really start to think about it, I think that the Patriots realize that they are not a Super Bowl contender this year. I mean, they were only a Super Bowl contender in theory last year. I mean, Brady was never playing at a level that was going to get them to a Super Bowl. So I think they're looking at this as sort of a rebuild. So I'm going to go with, it surprised me, but it's not insane that they didn't.
Okay. Packers not drafting a receiver.
That is crazy. that was a massive need for them, and they just to hell with it.
This is an interesting one because they drafted all defense, but the Panthers did not draft a cornerback. And they lost James Bradbury, who's a good player. Dante Jackson's looks good, but apparently now their other starting corner is Corn Elder.
Corn?
Corn, yeah.
What a name.
But it does say there's still some guys out there like Logan Ryan and Eli Apple, Prince of Makamura that you could do on a 1-year deal, but yeah, especially when you do your whole draft on defense and you don't get a cornerback. Number four, the Bears misfire at quarterback. Said they need a quarterback, but they don't seem to know it yet. I don't really agree with this one as much because they did go and get Nick Foles, so I don't know what you would have drafted that's going to come in and be better than Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky this year.
To me, the Bears have what the Bears have is two really good backup quarterback, you know, type players, and no real franchise quarterback. I think they realize it with Trubisky, and I think they're just kind of holding out hope that maybe Nick Foles is what they hope he is. I don't think he will be, but I understand why they're hoping that. I mean, at this point, it's hard to imagine that they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Trubisky. So, I don't know. I understand what they're doing. They're looking at this as sort of a transition year, hoping that either Trubisky finally takes a step, and if he doesn't, that Nick Foles is what some people thought he could be.
And if not, then you get a really high pick and
you're in the sweepstakes for the big one.
Yeah, either for Lawrence or Justin Fields, who figures to be a pretty good prospect, too. He won't be – I don't think he's Trevor Lawrence, but the Jaguars couldn't trade the veterans they needed to deal, either Fournette or Ngakoue. I did see that the Dolphins were still interested in getting Leonard Fournette, so maybe that one still happens.
Good.
And finally, the Eagles didn't get an outside cornerback. So
that's another big surprise.
Yeah, well, especially when you're taking Jalen Hurts, and there were some pretty good corners that were available with that pick.
Yeah.
So I still think, I still think that whole thing is just weird, especially now that they're talking about like using him as a running back.
Yeah. Listen, I think they're going to end up using him as a package player, which is what I said on draft day. And if they, it's nice to have some insurance in case there is another Wentz injury. But I think for the most part, they're looking at this guy as a better version of Taysom Hill.
And if he's that, okay. But is that really worth a second round pick?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody will bring up that, you know, Taysom Hill didn't cost him nearly what this is costing them. So it makes a big difference.
Well, especially when you had other needs and that you could have filled to make your team better. I mean, I think they see themselves as a contender. And if you're going to do that, it's kind of like Green Bay. It's like, okay, you see yourselves as a contender. This is kind of a luxury pick.
Yep.
But all right. Well, we'll have Taylor McCarg up next. Talk a little bit more about draft and everything else, but you've got something to tell the people about first.
Yeah, of course. I want to tell the people about Allstate, Allstate Siding and Windows. And listen, this is a time where everybody's looking to save a few bucks, and one great way to do it, save on your energy bills. And you can really do that with Allstate Siding and Windows. 40% you could save with new energy efficient siding and windows from Allstate. And the great thing about it is you might be thinking, well, I don't really have the money to put down on windows or siding right now. Well, with their spring special, no payments for 2 years, and you're saving $2,500 on all siding. You're saving 30% off all window packages. You are saving money now, and you're going to save on your energy bills, and you won't have to pay it until down the road. It's a win-win, if you ask me. And this company's been around. They're going to be around. They've been around for four generations. It's a company you can count on being here. For the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows today. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Six at a time. I made them hope that nipped the fire. He had to do, you can feel in your spine. You know what they say about babe. You know that them don't play about babe.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. What are the odds we have a really cool guest coming up? Percent 1000. Former Rice quarterback, college football analyst for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at TMcCarg16. Taylor McCarg joins us once again. Taylor, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, no complaints here. I mean, business as usual, as much as we can be without any new sports going on. But obviously the big thing in the sports world that did go on was the NFL draft. And you, as a a former quarterback, when we talked this week, I was like, you know, I'd love to get your take on some of the guys that got drafted, not just the guys at the top of the draft, which, I mean, obviously everybody's got thoughts about Joe Burrow and Tua, but some of the guys further down that maybe you'd seen a little bit of. But were there any of the guys, were any of those guys, you know, high on your list? Did you have favorites? Who did you like? Do you think Joe Burrow should have been the lock number one pick?
Yeah, I think the first three picks, you know, went chalk like we sort of expected them to. You know, I think Miami was trying to play maybe some mind games with saying that, you know, how much they loved Herbert when all along they really wanted to take Tua. The first three guys, though, I thought it made sense. The two that have, you know, the picks that have gotten the most attention, right, have been Jordan Love to the Packers and then Hurts to Philly. And as time's gone on, you know, both of them, for me, were head-scratchers that night. You know, Thursday night and Friday night, both of them, I thought, you know, what's really going on here? I didn't really love the picks, but as time has gone on, the Jordan Love pick is the one that really, I don't understand why, once you saw the Packers' full draft, I mean, this was a historic receiver draft class, and the Packers don't get any help at the receiver position. And to go up, to move up to take a quarterback just didn't make a ton of sense right now. And I understand Rodgers is getting a little older, but this was a 13-3 team, and they got it. I mean, it was given to them twice by San Francisco last year. And you would think, if you're Green Bay, let's find something on defense that's going to help shore up the defensive side of the ball, or go get a weapon for Aaron Rodgers. That's the one that I still really don't love the pick. Jalen Hurts, on the flip side, though, as much as Philly is just getting ripped right now for taking Jalen Hurts, when you look back at Carson Wentz's inability to stay healthy, I think that's the reason why you see Jalen Hurts taken. And he's a guy that's going to have a chance to be a starter in the league. He's got that kind of talent. But I think if you're Philly, this shores up that backup role where, yes, this is the backup right now. We're paying Carson Wentz big-time money. He's the guy. However, if he can't stay healthy, at least we know we've got a guy that isn't a 40-year-old backup that's going to get them beat in the playoffs. Right, this is somebody that could step in and potentially win games for them.
Well, we were just talking about this during the last segment. I mean, you have to assume if you've taken Jalen Hurts, you know, great. If Carson Wentz is hurt, it's great there. But you don't want to take a second round. You don't want to use a second rounder on just a backup quarterback or just a. I mean, he's going to have to be a package player in some ways, don't you assume?
I think they'll figure out a way to get him in the game plan. I don't think it's going to look like Taysom Hill. You know, before the draft, no one was talking about Jalen Hurts running down on special teams and making a tackle and then lining up in the slot or potentially, you know, chipping down and blocking a defensive end. That's how Taysom Hill made the roster and has really made a name for himself. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback prospect and has a better future at the quarterback position than Taysom Hill does. And I don't think it's fair right now. These comparisons to Taysom Hill just don't make a lot of sense. But I agree with you. They're going to have to figure out a way to get him on the field because he's talented. I think the bigger piece, though, is they're shoring up. There's a concern that Carson Wentz has real injury problems, and this allows them to make sure if something happens, they've got somebody that can step up. But again, I agree with you. I think we're going to see him play in some sort of package, yet to be seen what that is, obviously.
Taylor McCarg, our guest from ESPN. I wanted to also get into with you, you know, the rights to license players, images, things like that. Kids are going to start getting a little bit of dough, which I think is great. You know, I think that if a kid in college can sell his autograph, let the kid sell his autograph. Let him get some lunch money. It doesn't make much sense to me for the NCAA to want to fight that so hard. But and I understand there's a can of worms that could potentially be open. But I was curious your thoughts on it as a guy who played college athletics and was a quarterback and probably could have, you know, I mean, you weren't playing at a massive program, but as a quarterback, you probably could have done a commercial or something like that and made a few extra bucks. Like, is this something you think that should have been going on for a long time?
I do, yeah, and especially the way that they're doing it now makes the most sense. If the hardest part all along with compensating players was, they can't have the schools doing it because then you get into a whole list of issues with Title IX? How do we make sure this is fair? But if you just allow the market to dictate, you know, an athlete's value outside of their scholarship, then to your point, it can be all the way down to a small school guy that's doing ads in his local, you know, the town that he plays in, all the way up to if you're an Olympic swimmer and you go back to Stanford, you've got all the opportunity in the world to make money, and it's not just football and basketball. Now, I think the majority of the opportunities, like you said, are going to be your big time, your quarterbacks, your star receivers, your skill positions that are, you know, the face of a team and that are in a college town. And I think it's great because it gives them an opportunity to make a little bit of money. For a lot of guys, that the biggest example to me is Johnny Manziel, where if he had this opportunity in college, a guy like that, you could make a case that he would have made more money during college than he did in the NFL. And a lot of guys, this is their opportunity to make a little bit of money off of their name because they don't really have a pro career. But it makes a lot of sense. I'm glad that there's, you know, Congress is behind this so that they're going to have to figure out a way to determine what's fair market for what these kids are getting paid, you know, to get around boosters coming in and saying, yeah, I want you to do a car commercial for me and then pay them $500,000, right? They can't have that stuff going on.
Right.
But it's been a long time coming. And I'm glad for it. It gives, like you said, it gives kids an opportunity to make a little bit of money where otherwise they wouldn't be able to.
And what do you think of, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday as well, but the kids now, especially with the NBA, having the option instead of going to school for a year, especially kids who they already know that basketball is their long-term vocation, and any kind of schooling that they do is really just I don't want to say a waste of anyone's time, but that's how the kids are looking at it, is just buying time until I can play in the NBA. What do you think about this G League option that gives high school kids the opportunity to go in and make some money right away?
I think it's great. I think it makes the most sense if you're a young guy that, okay, it's really not important to me. If you're a top, realistically, we're talking about the top maybe 10 or 15 prospects coming out of high school that really are going to have this opportunity. It's
yes.
not like this is going to happen for the majority of kids. So
it's
if you're that right, if you're that the top echelon, the top tier of kids coming out of college or out of high school rather, and you've got an opportunity to go play in the G League, it doesn't make any sense for you to go and sit through classes that you don't care anything about when you know you're not going to be there for very long. And it's all leading to, Adam Silver's hinted to this, that I think the one-and-done rule is going to go away sooner rather than later. It doesn't make a lot of sense. There's no reason to force kids to go to college if they don't want to. There's no need for it. And if there's not a place for them in the NBA at the time, well, then you see them, they go overseas, they go into the G League, and then try and work their way back into the NBA. But similar to, you know, with the one-and-done rule and not paying kids, this is just the NCAA kicking and screaming, getting dragged to updating some rules and policies that these things should have been happening, you know, years ago. But at least we're finally seeing some change on both of these fronts.
Taylor McCarr, was there anything else from the draft that jumped out at you? Were there any guys who you felt particularly landed in a great spot, or particularly didn't land in a great spot, or anybody who you thought would have gone higher that went down the road a ways?
Well, I think Baltimore had a fantastic draft, top to bottom. I think that there was a ton of value. I thought the Texans, really, all things considered, my concern was Bill O'Brien was going to jump up and trade the farm to get back in the first round. I thought their picks, there's nothing that's really, you know, there wasn't a sexy pick, but it all spoke to and addressed needs that they had. Remains to be seen what happens with these guys, but they were all in pieces of the offense and defense that needed to be filled. The guy for the Cowboys fans out there, Bradley Anae out of Utah, he is a tweener. He ended up going in the fifth round. But when I was down at the Senior Bowl, he was dominant. He was all over the place. A lot of those tackles had a really hard time with him. He slid really off his measurables. He's not the biggest guy. He's got fairly short arms. But he's a monster, and I think the Cowboys really got a ton of value out of that fifth round pick. But again, for the Texans fans, I really did not think that. I thought this was a positive draft for Bill O'Brien, as, you know, his first draft as a GM.
That's Taylor McCarr from ESPN. Taylor, appreciate the time, man. We'll do this again in a week or two, and until then, you know, stay safe, my man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that's Taylor McCarr.
All right, let's take a very quick break. And we come back, I'll have a gym of the day, and AJ, I'll tell you when your breaking point is going to be.
Okay, and I also want to I want to talk a little bit about what we just talked about with Taylor about the, you know, the athletes being able to make some money and you know the impact that it could have, and you know it's not just a big superstar. To me, Taylor is a good example of a guy who, by Rice standards, he was a star. And if there was some Rice-owned business, they would have gladly, you know, given that dude a few grand to voice a commercial for him. You know, I think things like that, it's gonna be a big deal.
Well, and let's be honest, if you're buying a Rice jersey at the time, you're probably buying his, right?
Exactly.
And you know that's the thing about this that I like is if you're a player who's going to sell a bunch of jerseys and things like that, then you ought to get some of that money. You really should. All right, let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And a reminder, if you would like a copy of the sequel to Jesus Just Left Chicago called 3 Days Later, just email me, fower975@gmail.com. Asking $15, but if you can't afford it right now, I'm happy to send it to you for free. A couple people have actually bought copies for people who can't afford to, and frankly, most of the ones that I've sent out have been for free, and just want to give people something to read. So, just email me, and you know I'll give you the PayPal information and stuff. And if you want to pay for it, you can. If you don't, I'm not keeping score. So. That's FAOUR975@gmail.com. All right, let's finish that conversation a little bit before we get to the gym, because we can always push the gym back into the 6 o'clock hour. I know you had some more thoughts on that.
You know, the more I thought about it, he brought up Johnny Manziel, which is a great example of a guy who would have made a ton of dollars advertising when he was at Texas A&M. It probably would have been for Nike or someone like that, realistically. I mean, he would have been getting some serious bucks. But let's say there's you know, local businesses that want to capitalize on the buzz, for lack of a better word, no pun intended, John, around the football team when Johnny was there, but couldn't afford Johnny Manziel. Now his receivers come into play. I mean, it just opens up opportunities for other guys who, you know, maybe wouldn't have had those advertising opportunities if they didn't play on that team. To me, that's where it gets interesting, because you could see guys who wouldn't have otherwise made that money could make some good dough.
Yeah, I think Mike Evans would have done pretty well too,
yeah,
during that stretch for the Aggies. And you think Ed Oliver would have gotten paid some money when he was at UH?
Yeah, so, certainly.
And I mean, I think, and for the people say, well, what about the softball player or whatever that, hey, if you're popular.
You don't think Kat Osterman would have gotten an ad when she was at the University of, or Jenny Finch wouldn't have gotten advertising dollars? Certainly they would have. And you could say, oh, well, that's not because of her athleticism. Who cares? Who cares what it's for? If they're marketable, they're marketable. That's the whole point.
And to be fair, they were pretty damn good.
Yeah,
but yeah. That may not have been what it was about, but the reality is, it's. I think it's totally fine, and I think.
But let's also not act like even in dude sports, like a guy's look doesn't have something to do with how marketable he is.
Yeah, and sometimes, well, I'll go back to one that I think he wound up being a pretty good player in the NFL, but when Sebastian Vollmer was at UH, he was really popular because he was German. He probably would have got a bunch of stuff just because of that, because he was a different kind of cat. And hell, the Australian punter, I mean, stuff like that, it just being different, and that's okay. I mean, if somebody wants to pay you for that, I'm all for it. And I think it's a good thing, and it's about damn time.
Yep.
I just wish we had the NCAA football game back. That's all I care about. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I have a study on when most Americans expect to reach their breaking point from these stay-at-home orders. I'm just kind of curious, in both of your guys' cases, do you feel like you're close to the point of snapping?
No.
I think I'm closer than most people, yeah. I'm tired of it.
What's exhausting about it for you? I mean, you get out of the house every day at least.
I mean, I just want to go back to my normal life. I want to be able to do what I want to do and go places I want to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not close. I'm actually embracing this more and more every day. So, you know, you adapt and adjust and move on. But apparently, the breaking point for 72% of Americans will be early June.
Okay.
Now, so far, they did a study of a whole bunch of people who were stuck at home about their emotional well-being. And as of now, 29% of women have already reached their breaking point versus 20% of men.
Women are closer to breaking than men?
Yes, at this point, 29% to 20. Still pretty
the more
reasonable
mentally weak
number.
Sex.
If you're age 18,
by the way.
I think everybody knew that was a joke. Let's no disclaimer needed. All right, maybe disclaimer needed. If you're 18 to 24, 35% of those people have already reached their breaking point. If you're over 45, only 22% at this point.
So, I don't know. To me, if you're not out of work or something like that, then like if you're going to break because you miss your friends or you miss going out to restaurants, your life priorities are a little bit off. If you're like your whole life is crumbling around you, like, you know, you can't pay your bills, your light's getting shut off, you can't feed your kids, I could see that being like a breaking point. But like, I want to go to the beach. It's summertime and I can't go to the beach. Okay, you're a crybaby.
Oh, I have one word for you.
Yeah.
But here's the key stat, getting back to what you were talking about. Of those experiencing financial difficulties, 39%. The financially comfortable, 17%.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, that's the big one, right? I mean, that makes perfect
sense. If you're not paying your bills, then it's a lot easier to be, you know, to be right there, like to be on the breaking point.
And then just as far as resuming everyday activities, a large majority are now extremely worried about activities such as going on a flight, 69%. I think we all agree on that. Going to a bar or restaurant, 62%. Or using a rideshare service, 58%.
Damn.
Not really surprising.
Well, all right. I don't feel like I'm that close in person. I mean, and again, probably because I've still got a job. I'm still making some money. I've got a little bit of a nest egg. Like, it's not – the pressure's not mounting on me.
Yeah, we're still getting paychecks, and – that makes it a lot easier. It really does. But as far as, and again, this hasn't been that different for me as I work at home a lot as it is. All right, let's squeeze Lamont on before we go to break.
Hey, guys. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the whole college kids being getting paid, and I'm for college kids getting paid. But I'm starting to really wonder the people that might have the most pushback now, and I just thought about this as you guys were talking about it, is the NFL. And I'm just throwing this out there, man, that, okay, let's use high school going to college, for example. I heard even Seth Payne say this, how it was so hard for them to recruit at Cornell in the smaller schools because the high schools already had these magnificent stadiums. They already had the incentives and the glitz and the glamour and stuff. And where I'm getting to with this, I'm thinking on the next level, going from college to the pros, if these guys are already experiencing money right now, and like I'm saying, I'm totally for the college players getting paid, I'm starting to believe that the NFL may be the ones who's having the most pushback about these guys getting paid. In other words, once they get up to the NFL, that money that they're going to be seeing in NFL, I'm not going to say it's little or anything, but they probably already experienced money like that. And it was just a thought to me, man. It was just something I just came up with that, you know, once these players in college start tasting money, you know, the NFL money is going to probably have to increase a whole lot. That's all I have, fellas. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, it might. And here's another thing to think about. If you're a star at your school, but you're not likely to be a high draft pick, it's going to make more financial sense to stay in school and capitalize on your stardom there than it would be to haul off to the NFL. And think about the guys who have Timmy Chang and like the quarterbacks that have been at Boise, like guys who in their circle were and nationally too were a big deal, but weren't looked at as NFL prospects. Those are the guys that have a real opportunity to make some money in college and money that they wouldn't be able to make if they went to the NFL, because they'd be showing up, they'd be the third string quarterback, probably an undrafted free agent, not a lot of money in that.
No, and I mean, I think it's a good point. Before we go to break, texter asked, do you think Lawyer Dave can answer some questions for me regarding my employer? Absolutely, 713-626-8900. Just give him a call. And he'll be happy to answer your questions, and maybe he can help you. All right, let's take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.